Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Spend my dollar.
It's not about what you want. It's about what you're willing to do to get it. Run it again.
Hello and welcome.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
When you give me a hard time.
For the listeners that didn't get to go.
This is the payback.
Alabama wins!
What you did last year really doesn't matter.
Our goal is to have the kind of team that nobody wants to play.
Hi.
Hello and welcome to an Entering the Bye Week early edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. I know that speaks to me, recording on Wednesday. I don't know. It's been a long time since we've done that. But entering the bye week early also describes the Crimson Tide's win over Mississippi State. But not exclusively in the ways that you might expect. The Tide rested or held out a number of players due to injury. Saban hasn't talked about this specifically in a long time, but he used to really get into the idea of 2 weeks off is more than twice than better than 1 week of rest. And so holding out a number of folks going into the bye week, I'm not a doctor, and today I'm not going to play one on the podcast, but I wonder if there was a lot of confidence in the team, a lot of confidence in the backup, and that played into holding out so many guys, especially on the defense. It's a question you can't ask Coach because he's going to get all sort of worked up about assuming that you're going to beat the opponent. But goodness gracious, it really looks like we held folks out intentionally. There's only a couple of guys that I think could not have gone. And not trying to play medic here, but I think a number of the guys that were held out probably could have gone if the need had been there. So we'll see where that goes. I think it also sets the stage for Alabama to get right here in a hurry as we get to the home stretch. I want to be careful about that. If this were a month ago, I think I could really invest into the fact that this team is developing. Here, wrapping up week eight, that's a lot of lipstick on the pig, and so I want to be careful about that. But let's do this. Let's get back from our own bye week, luxuriating, self-scouting, and offense, it's time to advance the ball. Yes, yes, you can do it. You can do it, offense. Come on, come on. All right, here we go. We're going to start like we do with Bryce Young. And Bryce Saturday was spectacular in ways that prove that he can't do it alone. There were miraculous scrambles with truly some fantastic results. He had 11 different receivers. Actually, Bryce hit 10. We'll talk about that. Bryce hit 10 different receivers, so completely distributing the ball. No one had more than a couple of catches, so it was a lot of people rotating. We're going to talk about the receivers. Bryce did have two touchdowns, which is really nice, and I struggled to say only, but he had 249 yards, and we're used to Bryce having a week ago against Tennessee, he had 455 yards, and so 249 looks much more pedestrian, but it was a good day. Alabama put up 30 points on the day, significantly more than was needed. I'll say Jahmyr Gibbs, another sort of stalwart on the Alabama offense, was largely bottled up. He had 10 carries for 37 yards. He had an incredible, well-blocked, spectacular 19-yard run for a touchdown. Other than that, again, he demonstrated that he was also unable to do it alone. So, you know, these offensive performers that are top flight players, they definitely need a supporting staff, or they need the supporting staff to step up. That's players and coaches, I would say. I thought that the running back rotation looked a little unsettled to my eye. I thought Jace McClellan and Roydale Williams They both played okay. Nothing. I'm not certainly not mad at either how they played. I thought Roy Dell came in a lot earlier than he normally does to spell Jace. So I thought that was interesting. I wonder if realistically the season isn't catching up with those two players. They both went down with injury last year. They rehabbed at a breakneck pace throughout the offseason, throughout the summer, throughout fall camp, came back ready to play. And here they are after week eight. And in some regards, they look spent. They're playing like they're spent. And so it could be the physical toll of the season on a knee that's reconstructed on a last calendar year in which they've been nonstop in their rehab work. I don't know. Again, not trying to play medic on a podcast, but these are the types of questions that are not unfair to ask. It'll be interesting to see what sort of spring in their step and the whole team, but these guys in particular, they bring back from the bye and sort of down the home stretch. I'll talk about a player that I'd really, really like to see have an opportunity. And Saturday against Mississippi State, I thought really would have been an opportunity. Maybe I'm playing the result here, but I do think Jamarion Miller is a player, again, several weeks ago, go back, I think it was maybe the Vanderbilt podcast, go back and I said, this is a guy that we need to figure out how to get carries. He's the type of running back that's far enough down the depth chart that he can get frustrated and transfer. We've seen it before, and we've liked to have those players back. Like I listed Keelan Robinson as a great example a couple years ago, and I stand by that. Jamarion Miller, I don't know the guy. I'm not predicting any sort of thing, but he's sort of bottled up now. There's some guys, Jason and Roy Dell, are coming back. There's some recruits that everyone sort of gets excited over. And Jamarion Miller is the kind of player sort of in that in-between fold that can get looked over. And that's the fans more than the coaches. I certainly understand that. But it's an opportunity for Jamarion to play and the fans to get excited about him because I think he does have a lot of fans out there. And he's a player that I thought in the games that he's played – everyone knows that Alabama was running the ball. He still is successful in running the ball. And so against a Mississippi State where we're otherwise sort of bottled up, I think I would have given him a series. That's just me, but I think I would have. And so it'll be interesting to see if there's not an evolution of opportunity here as we move forward. I know I'm asking to play a freshman running back that's four or maybe five deep in a home stretch with three or four SEC West teams. I get it. I see how that works, but I don't think I'm wrong on that either. Wide receivers, we did talk about wide receivers. There was an article, and I read so much I forget where I read it, so I want to give credit to someone. I don't know who it is, so apologies. But there was a really good article, and I hated it. It asked the question, does Alabama really have a go-to number one wide receiver? And I hate it because the answer needs to be an obvious no. Why would you even write the article? But I hate it because it's true. It's so darn true. With emphasis, the answer is no, and that's frustrating. If we look at the Alabama wide receiver core, not necessarily those who caught passes on Saturday, though nearly, I believe, all of these players did. Going into the season, I thought Jermaine Burton was going to be the number one sort of go-to wide receiver. I thought that he would have the bulk of the catches there. My prediction that he was going to repeat that he was going to exceed his numbers for 2 years in Georgia at 1 year at Alabama, that's clearly just not going to happen. And that leads to some very interesting conversations one could have about the wide receiver talent at Georgia versus the quarterback talent and all of that. But we're not going to go there. We're just going to run through who do we think at various stages in time, who did we think would be the number one receiver at Alabama? Going into the season, I thought it would be Jermaine Burton. That clearly has not proven true. The first couple of weeks, Trayshon Holden really made a bid at being the number one wide receiver, and he played very, very well. He's 3 years in the system, so he's a candidate to be a go-to receiver. He's had quite a number of drops. He's a passionate fella, and I wish that he would sort of hone in because he's got an incredible amount of talent. I don't know any of this to be true, but tweets and such, it seems like he gets down when he gets down. Maybe that creeps into his game. I support the kid, and he has all the talent in the world to be a go-to clutch wide receiver. We just need to see more of it consistently. Freshman Kobe Prentice, very early on in the season, made a bid to be the guy, and we've had freshmen the guys at Alabama, and so to have one would not have been a surprise. He has been consistent after sort of leveling down. And so I don't think he's really in contention that you would reasonably say that he's the number one go-to wide receiver. The closest we might have to that is Ja'Cory Brooks. And we've talked about him on the podcast the last several weeks, that he's really elevated his game. And sometimes it's only a couple of catches, but they're darn clutch catches. And so Ja'Cory Brooks might be the closest thing Alabama has to a number one receiver. And this is not me being mad at Ja'Cory, but if Ja'Cory is your number one wide receiver and he's two or three catches a game, then you don't. That's exactly why you don't have a number one wide receiver. And it's why it's so damn frustrating because we have all of this talent, or the Tide certainly has all this talent. Now, it could be transitory. I want to be completely fair to the discussion. It could be transitory. JoJo Earl was having a fantastic bang-up fall, and he gets injured. Last couple weeks, he has come on strong coming back from injury. Limited number of catches, but he had one of the more spectacular scramble throws, touchdowns, Saturday against Mississippi State. So JoJo Earl potentially could step into that. Another true freshman, there's a number of them, Isaiah Bond is peeking his head up and making plays. Enough to be qualified as the number one? Absolutely not. Is there talent and potential there? Absolutely yes. And then another player making his debut is Louisville transfer Tyler Harrell. Now, he caught one pass, and so in no way am I positioning him as the number one go-to receiver for Alabama. Please don't hear me say that. But we want to give a little bit of nod or attention to the fact that he's alive. He's a real person. He's on the roster. And he saw action Saturday and, in fact, caught a pass from Jalen Milroe. Would have liked to have seen more of him, but hopefully that's a precursor for more to come. And so we'll see. Two more weeks of rest for him because he's coming off an injury. We'll see how that goes. Again, now, this is week 8. If this were week 3 or 4, if this were a month ago and we were throwing the blanket over all of these wide receivers, as we did on this and other forums, as we did, then that's one thing. At week 8, the fact that no one really has surfaced or emerged from this group, that's where the frustration comes in, because the sense is, my sense is that the talent is there, but no one is really seasoning. Someone sort of needs to sit on attack and jump up and declare himself the number one sort of go-to receiver, and then execute and lead in that way. So we'll see how that goes. Offensive line, we'll keep this short and sweet. Offensive line just plays better when Seth McLaughlin plays. I'm not mad at Daukert, and Daukert is no Chris Owens in sort of that flow of the conversation. Also, Daukert is no Seth McLaughlin. And so when Seth is right, the offensive line plays better. I can't explain it. I think he gets the calls right. I think he settles down the offensive line physically. If you lined him up and asked him to fight one another, I think Daukert would win. But that's not what playing center is all about. It's a good portion of it, or it is, certainly is a portion of it, but it's not all. And McLaughlin brings enough fight to the position. And he also brings, I want to be careful saying the cerebral side or the thinking portion of the game, because I don't mean that in any way towards Daukert at all. I just think Seth just is a calming presence, and he gets the calls, and the offensive line as a whole plays better when he's in there. I did see that, and we talked about this last week, Seth was taken out at the very end of the Tennessee game. And I went back and watched that again and sort of suffered through the end of that. My memory had told me that the drive, that last entire final drive, that Seth was out and Daukert played, and which was impressive, and we gave him the mini game ball and such. I went back and watched it, looking for when did Seth go down and how did it look on the field. And what's interesting is I went back and watched that drive again, and Seth actually started that drive, and he played actually most of that drive. I think we said it was a 12-play drive. He played most of that drive. Daukert only came in for the last three or four. But the last two plays that Seth played, maybe the last three, there was one point it looked like he sort of kicked out his knee, like he was trying to unlock his knee or something. That could be nothing. But the last two plays that he played, he looked poor. He looked poor in his execution. He didn't look fully sort of physically there. And I wonder if he was pulled at that or said something. I don't know. There was a timeout, and they went to commercial. The broadcast team did. And there was a timeout for an injured player that was a Tennessee player. And during that timeout, during that commercial break, during all of that sort of attention to the Tennessee player that was down, it's not inappropriate, Seth was removed. And so the crew never caught that, never made mention of it. And to this day, I've tried to find content on it, and I cannot. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully this next week there'll be some Saban's really particular about his injury reports, but hopefully there'll be some information, some intel coming out. And hopefully we'll hear that Seth is back to full form and ready to go. Again, he could have been one of the players that could have played had there been more of a critical need. And again, not playing to the opponent, but sometimes you play to the opponent. So we'll see how that goes. More to come. Let's see, a couple quick facts here, quick thoughts. Herb Street was right. We need more. Alabama needs more Cam Latu. If he's a stock, I'm buying up his stock, at least for the balance of the season. Cam Latu, I think, has the potential to be maybe not explosive, but certainly moving the chains, and he's certainly capable of touchdowns. So we'd like to see that. We'd like to see more of that down the home stretch. If he gets a touchdown, if he gets five touchdowns over these next four games, that will not surprise me at all. I don't think he averages two, but if he has, if he gets six in the four, it would not surprise me at all. He's that kind of player, and when the tide goes to him, he can be that productive. So I'd say look for Latu down the home stretch here. And then a final thought that I'll speak to on offense is Jalen Milroe. When Jalen Milroe comes into the game, run his offense. Don't run a watered-down version of his offense. Run his offense. I think for my money, I would have brought Milroe in a series earlier, maybe two series earlier. You've rested. You've held out a lot of guys for injury. You've got Bryce coming back from an injury. Your defense is doing work. Take Bryce out and get Jalen an opportunity to run his offense. One of the sort of the knocks on Jalen is that he never really got to run his offense because his offense is more aggressive. It doesn't even make sense. It's aggressive, although it's running more running based. And so even when he went in relief duty, he wasn't really able to take the lid off of what it is that he was capable of doing. And then when he started, he really didn't have an opportunity to do that either. And so put him in a game like this, let him play the fourth quarter, maybe up into the third, and spend the bulk of that time, two or three or four possessions, however the clock sort of rolls out, and let him cook, let him do what he does, run his flip to that page of the playbook, those pages, and let him run that. We didn't see that on Saturday. It's not Milroe's fault. If I'm blaming, that's I point to coaches on that, but I found that a little bit frustrating, and I wish we had really given an opportunity to showcase his capability. At a point in time, we left the starter in to hopefully score more points, but we know he's injured. Put Jalen in and try to let him score points, and let's see what he can do. Let's find out what we really have there at that position with a backup there, giving him another opportunity. So I feel strongly about that.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
All right, let's flip the field to defense. And defense is really where Alabama needed to make the biggest statement coming out of Tennessee. It's also the position where Alabama had the most players out for injury. And it's also the side of the ball where Alabama had the absolute most success against Mississippi State. So that's an interesting sort of mix of events. Alabama had two defensive linemen who sat, a couple of that with Justin Oboibe, who's been out for multiple weeks. He had an injury just as we thought he was going to burst. He had a neck injury in camp or in practice that has held him out. I hear that there's some seriousness to that injury and knows no timeline for his return. There's two linebackers in the two deep that were out, and one cornerback was out. I think that was more of a coaching decision. I hesitate to say that he was benched, but we'll talk about the cornerback here in just a minute. And yes, that's the lead we're burying. But let's step this through. At the defensive line position, Jaheim Otis and DJ Dale both sat out. Again, no reports of a specific injury. And again, Saban has said before, 2 weeks of injury is better than 1 week of injury. It's more than twice than a 1 week injury. And the idea is just a sustained rest for the player, especially for usage injuries. And we know DJ Dale has one. There's a knee sort of, I don't want to say degenerative, I don't want to go that far, but he has a knee injury that is sort of lingering from prior knee injuries. And I do think it gives him trouble at times. And so 2 weeks rest is going to freshen him up. I'm not exactly sure what the issue was with Jaheim. I hope that he is good. True freshman starter that has played very, very well. And so hopefully these guys are going to come back. I suspect that they will. Again, had it been a different game, a different context, I think potentially one or both of them would have played. In their absence, and Saban was spot on, in their absence, we did see some additional players perform, and the range of pretty good, and certainly something that we can build from, and it gives them confidence. We saw a lot more Tim Smith. Now, we like Tim Smith. He's played very, very well last year and this year. We saw some Jamil Burrows. Now, we haven't seen a whole lot of him, but he's flashed in the past, and so he's a player that I'd like to see earn a greater opportunity on the field. We saw Damon Payne, and we saw John Moran Lathan get some additional run as well. So hopefully that's going to bolster the defensive line, give us more options at that position, and get some of these guys back. If Jaheim and DJ have injuries that essentially are usage, and we have these additional players that can take reps, then that's a way of sort of distributing playing time through the balance of the season. So Otis and DJ stay a little more fresh for those four games while not having to play the full games if we have additional guys that are ready to go. So watch for that rotation across the defensive front as we enter the home stretch. I'm saying that a lot. It's the visual. We have four games to end this out. Three of them are SEC West games. This is the hitting the fan moment or our time frame. November is for this Alabama team. Two linebackers, Deontay Lawson, who has been, I've said, platooning with Jalen Moody. Some might at this point say he's starting ahead of Moody. Can't argue against that. And Kendrick Blackshear sat out. He's in the two deep at the position. Henry Toitoa has become an intriguing player, and not in the ways that we said he may have been an intriguing player earlier in the season. Saturday he had 13 tackles, or was in on 13 tackles. So he's clearly very active and contributing in that regard. But he also just seems to be absent at times too, and I can't put my finger on it. There's a cross-section there where somehow he's racking up a lot of tackles, but then he goes dormant and quiet, not from a stat standpoint, but just visually not present on the field, it appears. I don't know if there was some sort of voodoo that I think this started last week at Tennessee where he did not have his best game. I don't know if there's some sort of voodoo with Tennessee, where he played his first 2 years at. But we need to scrub that off, go through sort of one of those radiation shower systems or something, and get that Tennessee funk off of him, so he can come back down the home stretch and play like he was earlier in the season, where he truly was all over the field and was borderline spectacular. So that's the Toa Toa that we want to see. So come on, Hank, we're rooting for you. And Jalen Moody is a guy I'd like to see on the field more often. I'm not mad at any of the linebackers per se. Deontay Lawson, I think, has a lot of talent, more in coverage. I think he's more of an athletic player than is Jalen Moody. But damn it, Jalen Moody just makes plays. And so I'd like to see some more Jalen Moody on the field. I know he's box forward versus, you know, in coverage. I understand all that. Let's find a way to get him on the field more often. That's sort of something I would say there. I want to talk defensive backs. And, again, there's two in particular, I guess maybe three in particular, that I want to speak to. And I'm going to start with the one that's not the one you think I'm going to start with. At the defensive back position, I just want to give hats off to DeMarco Helms. He had a phenomenal day on Saturday. He had 12 tackles, or was in on 12 tackles. He had a sack. He had two pass deflections. And I want to be very clear. This is not DeMarco Helms raising his level of play from the Tennessee game. This is DeMarco Helms deployed in a way that maximizes his skill set. He's not playing the deep quarter of the field as a free safety. He's playing box forward. He's a box forward safety. When you use him as a box forward safety, these are the kinds of numbers that you give him. I understand you have to play to your opponent, but rotate personnel. DeMarco Helms, it was almost criminal how he was used against Tennessee, and all the highlight reels are going to show him getting burned, which is incredibly unfortunate, misfortunate. I don't think that's a fair representation of his skill set, his talent set, and there's not a damn NFL team that is going to care about his deep coverage in the deep middle of the field, because that's not why they're going to bring him onto their team. And so that's why Alabama needs to use him in that way. Yes, I'm a little bit frustrated about that, but I'm so excited that DeMarco, I'm going to say, bounce back from a mental standpoint, not from a play standpoint. It'd be easy for a player to kind of go in the tank, and he did not. He came back and said, damn it, I'm going to do what I do, and I'm going to do it as well as I do, and he did. Let's talk about probably the buried lead of the entire podcast, and that's Eli Ricks. Holy shit, where did he come from? Incredible buzz all season, and it wasn't positive buzz. It was an unhappy player. He's a disgruntled player. He's not practicing to a standard. He's not all of this. He's recovering from injury. What's true? What's not true? I don't know, but what is true is you put him on the field Saturday against Mississippi State, and he was lights out. He was incredible. He had four pass breakups, which is an incredible number all by itself. I think that's a function of the Mississippi State game plan, probably ready to target Terrion Arnold. And the reason, and this is not mad at Terrion Arnold, this is because Mississippi State has two very tall receivers, and so they're going to target the shorter defensive back. Go back to the interview we had with Mississippi State. We said that's exactly what they're going to do. The tall receiver, the 6'4 guy, is going to catch balls over Terrion Arnold. Alabama's going to have to be prepared for that. Well, little did I know, prepared was bringing in another defensive back, a taller defensive back, a lankier defensive back, a defensive back with an incredible reach, a reach to the extent when he's out of position, he's still in position, batting away balls. And we talk all the time, we talk with regularity, particularly defensive players, we talk about them being comfortable on the field. Well, Eli Ricks was not just comfortable in the field. He was having a blast. He was having more fun on the field than I think anyone else, partly because he probably feels he's been caged up all season and he was ready to let loose. And let loose he did, certainly let his skill set shine and register quite a number of big plays. This Alabama team down the stretch, if there's Kool-Aid on one side, who teams are starting to demonstrate an unwillingness or lack of willingness to throw to, and now Eli is emergent on the other side, now you potentially have two. I don't want to say lockdown. I don't want to say shut down. Those are big terms when it comes to corners. But you have those two corners manning the outside edge. You really start to compress the field. It's like when you start to pass out and sort of your vision goes black and it starts and it gets more and more narrow. those two cornerbacks start to shrink the field of vision for an opposing team, for an opposing cornerback. That's going to be exciting to see down the home stretch. That is a defensive wrinkle that this team has available to it, and that'll be fun to see. I do think, and I look forward to, and I'm predicting some sort of defensive package with Terrion Arnold at free safety, man in the deep middle. Maybe he comes in for Malachi Moore when we go to a dime. I don't know. I think I would. Is he better than Malachi Moore? Some days I might say yes. I think I would move Terrion around a little bit. I look forward to some opportunity to see him at a free safety. And then if we've got, we talk about corner types, how many corner types do we have on the field? Well, if we've got three guys that have started at corner for this team and they're all on the field together, I like the way that sounds. I like the potential that could do. I know Terrion was brought in as a safety. He just is corner capable coverage, and so he played at corner. Moving him back to safety, I don't think is outside of his skill set. I think he spent 2 years practicing most of his time at safety. So I think moving him in maybe in a dime situation, which is already sort of a limited platform to begin with, we may see that as early as LSU. That may be the next evolution of the Eli Ricks wrinkle, if I can say all that. That may be the next evolution, is to bring Terrion Arnold at the free safety. So that will be phenomenal to see.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's talk special teams. Not a whole lot here. We'll hit a couple points. Will Reichert was 3 for 3 with a long of 50. Let's nod. Let's celebrate. Let's be pleased, and let's move on. We don't want to wallow in the other. Burnup was 6 punts, 222 yards, average of 37, had a long of 50, had 3 inside the 20. And as I was writing this out, I thought, I know who James Burnup is. And I don't have a name to put to it, although I could probably do some research and find a name that I would put to it. Burnup is not an all-star punter. He's not going to be the guy that you ever – now, hopefully I'm wrong. Prove me wrong. I don't think Burnup's ever a player that you say, wow, holy cow, huge punt. Our punter is a weapon. I don't think J.J. Scott was – or Scott, the Scott kid, he was that. Our punter is like – he's going to – I don't mind punting because our punter is going to reverse the field, put us in better position when we get the offense again. J.K. Scott. Burnup will never be that. Burnup this year over last year has improved. So I don't think Burnup's a dog in any way. He's a punter that you refill your glass when he's punting. He's not going to do anything excited. It's going to be a perfunctory punt. There's not going to be any super exciting. Pedestrian, I guess, is the word I use in that context. That's who James Burnup is. I'm not mad at it. It just has dawned on me that's what it is. And so I need to not have outsized expectations. Hell, we went all the way to Australia to get him. So you have some expectations. I'm going to dial down my expectations. And I'm going to say he is what it is. And I'm going to stop getting mad at it. And I'm going to sleep better at night. And so that'll be good. kickoffs and kickoff returns. Alabama had zero kickoff returns, and that may be the best stat of the day. And it's really true for two reasons. Certainly, Mississippi State didn't score. They literally did not score until there was 1 second left on the clock, and there was going to be no kickoff on that. So for all intents and purposes, Mississippi State didn't score, so there were no kickoffs as a result. And the one kickoff that Alabama did have, they didn't try to run it out and get a 22-yard gain on a punt return or a kickoff return, because that's a bullshit stat. And so when I see zero return yards, that makes me happy. And now zero punt return yards, not pleased with that. And in fact, I'm going to say it's surprising. Is it really that easy to shut down Kool-Aid McKinstry in the punt return game? Surely not, except for what? This is the third team that's done it? I don't understand. Kool-Aid McKinstry was lighting fires early in the season. And when we took him out, Branch had a touchdown. And there was another punt returner, I think in Lamar Monroe or Vanderbilt. I can't remember. I think three punters just had all-star days at the punt return game. There was clearly something that Alabama's punt return team was doing right and Vanderbilt's punt return team coverage team was doing wrong, such that three returnees had incredible days returning punts. Well, apparently you can't bottle that forward, because Alabama's entered a stretch here with teams that just allow bupkis when it comes to punt returns. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I wish we had zero punt returns against Tennessee, but that's another conversation for another day. But what is it about these teams that are preventing Kool-Aid? I think it's the sky kick. I think it's the coverage. Maybe they're better teams. I don't know. It's just almost too coincidental that three in a row have just completely shut down Alabama's punt return game when it was so explosive. It was a contributing component of the offense. It scored a couple of times, but certainly moving the ball, getting a first down every time there was a punt. So that's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds. Can all the teams down the stretch, and, you know, I guess I'll include Austin Peay in there, can all the teams down the stretch bottle up McKinstry in the same way? Well, it's categorically no, because Austin Peay is not going to be able to. But can the other teams on the roster, the LSU, the Ole Miss, and the Auburn, I don't think they all will. So that's going to be interesting to see. And hopefully Kool-Aid is maintaining his level of readiness for that to happen. And I'm confident that he will. All right. So what's next up? You know what? It's a bye week. And so we all, team included, or maybe we start with the team and us too, need a little rest, need a little self-scouting, and we need to stay smart. We need to stay out of trouble. You know who you are out there. We need this team to pull it all together. As Tide fans, we need this Alabama team to pull it all together. And if they don't, we'll drop another we'll drop another game down the home stretch. Again, is it Ole Miss or LSU? That's the likely candidates. If this team doesn't pull it all together, those two road games, there's two road games and two home games. If this team doesn't pull it all together, then Alabama drops one of those road games. We don't want that to happen. We're not rooting for it. We're just calling it like we see it. So this team needs to work hard over the bye week to improve, to address what needs to be addressing. We need to flash forward to week 9, or it's going to be week 10. We're still playing like it's week 4, trying to figure shit out. We need to play like it's week 9, like we have this shit figured out, and play like that. That team, that Alabama team with their shit figured out, is going to be one of the better teams in the country and has a legit chance to play for the national title. That is what Saban and the coaching staffs and all the speakers they could ever try to bring in, that's the message they need to tell the team. Get your shit straight and you can play for a national title, because the talent is there. If you're going to sort of jerk around and not get it all together and everyone gets a turn making a mistake, you will drop one of those two games. You'll be out of the playoffs, potentially out of the SEC championship game. Again, let's fix that. Let's use the bye week for good. All right, with that, this has been another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Roll Tide.
Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just to shout out a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, coach? Of course, Roll Tide.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.